This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is. The Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Thursday. We have an amazing hour planned for you here. Some guys worried about the right-wing violence that may start in response to theirs. We'll talk about that. This guy's border crosser wife is turning communist. Some guy wants to know where Chris and I linked up. The Marine Corps Ball, is that something that I ever went to? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. We'll even get into Lindsey Graham. That's always a good time. That's always a good time. Before we get to any of that, I want to answer this. Jesse, with the left continually escalating violence against us, how long before some on the right start retaliating with violence against them, and where do you think that would take us? Well, first, I was, just like you, I was mourning for a while after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And it wasn't just, you know, the loss of a martyr and a husband and father. It wasn't just that. That was obviously part of it. I was mourning. I mean, look, it wasn't just on the air. I mean, I'm honest with you about what I'm going through and how I'm feeling. Aub noticed it, but she was mourning too. I was mourning what I think it means for the country. That was a big part of it. Not just where we were, where we're going. Because I had told you long beforehand that they were going to keep killing people and that there was going to be an assassination. I told you that was coming. And once it got here, it just was kind of one of these, we're here. And I'm still sad that it will keep happening. It will. Now, you heard the story, I'm sure, about the guy who was going to try to firebomb the Supreme Court justices. Maybe you missed this, but there is a cathedral where the conservative right-wing Supreme Court justices, occasionally they will attend a special mass there. And so it would be the Clarence Thomases and Alitos and these types. Now, they didn't happen to go on this day, but they busted a guy outside of it with 200 IEDs. And I talked to Luke Rosaik with the Daily Wire, really sharp, really good investigative reporter. I talked to Luke Rosaik about that. And it wasn't just some idiot who threw together something out of, you know, a couple products from his kitchen. From what I understand, there was at least some level of sophistication to these things. By the grace of God, he was stopped, and the justices weren't there anyway, but there's going to be more. There will be. These people are demonic. There's going to be more. And, of course, the media runs cover for
them. In fact, it's not even like far-right groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, which have had national leaders, unlike Antifa. There is no organized hierarchy to the group. And according to the Center for Strategic and International Studies, compared to right-wing extremists, Antifa-linked violence is rare and limited.
Yeah, it's bad. So I was sad, and I remain, you know, I'm still bummed about where we're going, knowing that more people will die. We know, I shouldn't say we know, I've predicted that an ICE agent is going to be killed, maybe a National Guardsman. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. With this level of rhetoric, this level of demonic possession with the communists, it's going to happen. So your question is, how long before the right starts retaliating with violence? I hope a while, because I've told you many times before, it's not that I'm a nonviolent person. I've been very violent for much of my life. It's not that I'm a nonviolent person, but just out of pure effectiveness, it is very difficult, almost impossible, to kill your way out of a problem. People have tried many times throughout history and failed many times throughout history. It's just pretty much impossible to kill your way out of a problem. People have tried for a variety of reasons, just doesn't work. So I hope it's going to be a while. Here's what I worry about. And maybe this is just something I've gone through in my mind, but here's what I worry about. If any segment of the right starts killing people, I don't even think it'll be street animals. I don't think you're going to see a group of right-wingers start chucking Antifa guys in the back of vans and whisking them away. If we do get to that place, and I really pray this does not get here, I think it'll be elected officials like judges. I think it's going to come to a point, well, I hope it doesn't, but my worry is that one of these judges who keeps turning these animals loose on the streets, one of these judges is going to turn one of these animals loose, and one of these animals is going to hurt someone else, you know, young girl, and that girl is going to be the wife or daughter of a very dangerous man, and something's going to happen. That's my fear. That's my fear. Because then it gets even worse from there. Now, let's just game this out in our heads, because maybe you're sitting there saying, sweet, that's what they deserve. Okay, all right, let's pause for a second. What does Kash Patel and the FBI have to do from there? Then they have to, see, it all gets bad. But violence does beget violence. And therefore, I worry the right will not remain peaceful forever. It's like racism. Racism begets racism. You can't stop it. There is more anti-black racism right now in the United States of America than there has been since segregation. Why? Because the cultural Marxists, the black race Marxists in this country are so loud and bold now with anti-white hatred that has beget more racism on the right. I get it in the emails sometimes. Black people suck and black this and black that. Why does that happen? Did it come out of nowhere? No. You get enough Jasmine Crockett's out there running their fat mouths about white people this and white that and white that. Well, you're going to end up with the shoe being on the other foot. It's just a terrible state of affairs. Jesse, my common-law wife is flipping out. She's my common-law wife of over 20 years, hates me. She came over the Mexican border illegally, and she is now an official citizen through process. This happened during the COVID period, and I helped her achieve it. Now she hates white culture, says I'm privileged, I support Trump, and that I'm a Nazi. We're arguing and separating because of these policies. What should I do? Or basic advice? Oh, I would call ICE and have her deported. Hey, Five Ed Jesse, with all your humorous banter towards Jewish producer Chris, I've come to the conclusion that it's either a shtick or you were both best buddies before world famous show started. So as much as it hurts your heart for Jewish producer Chris to have a spotlight, I would love to know how you all got together and how your paths crossed. I love the show, been listening for years, as well as everyone around me while we're at work in the fields. The minions have no choice. That's really cool. I got stuck with Chris. It was certainly not a choice. What, Chris? I'm just being honest. It was not a choice that I made at all. Remember I told you 7 years ago, my friend, my mentor, Michael Berry, he convinced the local iHeart affiliate down here in Houston, KPRC, he convinced Eddie Martini, great dude, to give me a shot at a radio show. And that's a big ask, right? Eddie Martini has to give a radio show to some guy. I've never done any media. I didn't know I had any idea what I was doing. And he did it. It was a 7 o'clock at night show. It was just 7 to 8. It was 1 hour, local station. I mean, no one was listening. And the first night I got there, you know, you don't have a staff. You don't. The show doesn't even make any money. You don't make any money. There's nothing. The first night I got there, you have to have a board operator. It's called a board op. You have to have a board operator. That's somebody who can take you to commercial, bring you back, play some music, press a couple buttons. It was Chris. Chris was the one. But Chris, much as it pains me to say it, he didn't just sit there. He became invested in the show. So if I'm talking about something, he's digging up audio. He was digging up music. Chris cared enough to get involved. And so I had to drag him along with me everywhere. Now he has the great honor of working. What, Chris? Of working with his hero, me. It's a huge honor for him. And look, Chris, I just want you to know, I'm happy for you. I'm happy. What? I'm happy you get to work with me. That's what I mean. It's an honor for you, and I know it is. You know what's an honor? You know what's wonderful? Cozy Earth. Going home is wonderful. You want to know something? You know, Cozy Earth sent me a bunch of stuff when they heard me talking about the show and they decided to partner with the show. They sent me a bunch of stuff, pants and all these things. I go buy my own stuff from Cozy Earth. Did you know that? That's how much I love them. Everything is just so freaking comfortable. The pants and the robes. As you know, I'm a robe guy, and Ob loves that big fluffy blanket they have. The sheets. I'm finally not sweating to freaking death. And the sheets and the towels and our home, it's just all Cozy Earth. Our home is a Cozy Earth advertisement at this point in time. I should just do a tour and have that be an ad. I'm telling you, get one thing, couple things from Cozy Earth. Ladies, get some face creams and blankies and stuff. Fellas, get some everywhere pants and, of course, a robe. That's important. CozyEarth.com. Use the promo code Jesse so you save a bunch of money. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Chris, you need to play more Three Dog Night. Everybody likes Three Dog Night. Even people who don't think they like Three Dog Night. You throw on some Three Dog Night and everyone just feels better. This is me formally requesting some more Three Dog Night. What? Yes, I like it, Chris. You don't have to be mean about it, all right? Did you see Tish James got indicted for mortgage fraud earlier today? This happened a couple hours ago. I got to be honest, I'm kind of stupid, and I thought she had already been indicted. And the reason I thought she'd already been indicted is because it had been leaked to me that she was going to be indicted. So I guess as soon as it came out, I thought, what? Didn't we already know that? But I guess now it's official. And hey, you come at the king, you best not miss. It's hard not to think about that smug witch sitting there in the courtroom while Donald Trump was on trial in New York with that smug, satisfied grin on her face. She built her political career going after her political opponents. And now, I mean, they've got to have her dead to rights. Here's the thing about mortgage fraud. It's really kind of black and white. It's really black and white. Either you lied on the form or you did not. They have the form. Did you lie that was your primary residence, or didn't you? It's black and white. She's toast. She's toast. You're going to get disbarred, I would assume, unless it's some dirty commie judge, which we all know can happen. Dr. Beaver, you played the Lady Graham clips of him addressing the extra funding for the FBI. Have you noticed his leading questions about whether they can responsibly use the extra $100 million? He chuckles before each blatant lie. What is that? Is he laughing because he knows he's cheating us taxpayers? Or is it a subconscious moment of honesty slipping out in this circus of a hearing. Let's play it again. Chris, play Lindsey Graham when Christopher Wray was sitting in front of him. Go ahead.
If the committee decided to, say, increase by $100 million your budget, could you spend it wisely?
I can assure you that any money that this committee thinks sees fit, I promise it'll be good to get used.
I believe you. What I want the American people to know is that the budget request for the FBI is below inflation. Do you agree with that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well.
The budget request for the FBI is below inflation.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. After listening to you and everything you say is legitimate concern, you have a lot to do. Do you think the committee should look at increasing your budget?
What we really need are more resources, more than anything
else. Count me in for more resources to help you deal with this threat as well as other threats.
So there's a great, great, great quote from the comedian who's now dead, George Carlin. He had a bunch of great quotes, but he has a great quote. It's probably his most famous quote of, "It's a big club and you're not in it." We oftentimes see things as Republicans versus Democrats, and that's understandable because Democrats are so unbelievably evil now. And there are a lot of very, very solid, patriotic Republicans who are fighting. But remember this, at the tippy top of each party in Congress, in the House, in the Senate, the leadership, almost all of them are on the same team. If you are in Senate leadership, it doesn't matter if you're Chuck Schumer or Lindsey Graham. If you've been there a long, long, long time and you've risen to positions of power in leadership, you represent Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what state, what district sends you there. You care about Washington, D.C. You are a card-carrying member of the system. And look, think for a moment. You know, J. Edgar Hoover was famous. We know this. J. Edgar Hoover was famous for collecting damaging information on all the politicians he could find in Washington, D.C. He kept files on them so he could blackmail them and get whatever he wanted. That's J. Edgar Hoover, guy who started the thing, right? Do you think they stopped doing that? Of course, it still happens. We know that. Still happens. Now, Lindsey Graham. Do you think the FBI has any information on Lindsey Graham? These are people who read your text messages. These are people with sources all over the country. What kind of a file do you think the FBI has on Lindsey Graham? If you had to guess, do you think there's anything in the Lindsey Graham file that maybe wouldn't fly too well with the good, God-fearing people in South Carolina? Do you think maybe, just maybe, there's a picture? Maybe a video? What, Chris? I'm just doing maybes. These are all hypotheticals, Chris. Maybe an email, a text message. Do you think there's anything there that would make the voters of South Carolina frown a little bit? Do you think it's an accident that Lindsey Graham sounds so good sometimes on camera, but right when we need him most to drain the swamp, he seems to help the swamp? Weird how often that works. It's weird how well Rough Greens works. It's weird because Fred has a nervous stomach. Fred used to create a mess after every meal. I'll put it that way. Quite a mess. He used to create such a mess that Ab about pulled her hair out. She said, I don't know how I'm going to keep doing this. You're going to have to be an outside dog or something. I can't do this anymore. We're at wit's end. Then we discover Rough Greens. The live nutrients in Rough Greens, things like probiotics, vitamins, minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, like that, Fred's digestive issues stopped, have never came back. His coat looks good. His energy is good. He's still a moron. But other than that, he's doing so much better with Rough Greens. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse, or go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, did you purposely play their worst song? That's their worst song, and you did that on purpose because I asked you to. You did that on purpose, and everybody knows you did that on purpose. What? What? No, it's not that I hate good music. You have no taste. You don't, please, please.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Can we get some better music? Jesse, did you ever go to the Marine Corps ball? Do infantry guys do that? If so, what do you think? Okay, so let me give you non-Marine types, you people who may not know, a little Marine Corps information. Every year, around the Marine Corps birthday, I never had one that was on the Marine Corps birthday. It just doesn't work that way scheduling wise. But somewhere around the Marine Corps birthday, every Marine unit I ever knew had a ball. It is a Marine Corps ball, and they are unbelievably cool. We were in 29 Palms, California. It was always somewhere else for us. I don't want to say how every unit did it, but we were generally around Las Vegas or someplace close to Las Vegas. They would rent out some gigantic ballroom. And the traditions at the thing, there's more than I can even remember now. Traditions like the oldest Marine in the room and the youngest Marine in the room all cut the cake. You know, they both cut the cake. Just so many cool traditions. And when you're there, you dress up in your dress blues, which everybody, including the other lesser services, know are the best. That's the best looking uniform there is. The ladies just flock to you when you have your dress blues on. It's undeniable. Don't lie. Everybody knows it. If you do bring a date, you know, if you're married or you have a girlfriend or you just ask somebody, she will be dressed up, you know, ball gown, dressed to the nines. Ladies, this is for you dimes out there. If you ever get asked to a Marine Corps ball, say yes. I promise you, one, you are going to be safe and sound, surrounded by Marines all night long, and two, you are going to have a blast. A blast. I actually never brought a date to one because we were going to Las Vegas. I just wanted to go find one afterwards. And we would pour out after the ball was done. And yes, there's food and drink and good speeches, not boring, you know, politician speeches. Great speeches and food and drink and cool traditions. And then as soon as it's done, You are turned loose in a place like Las Vegas, and you and all your boys roll out, and which I know Vegas is garbage now. I guess it's too expensive, and the whole place smells like weed. But there was a time where it was just fun, even if you weren't a gambler. And we would pour out onto the town in Las Vegas and have a blast. If you at any point in your life have an opportunity to attend a Marine Corps ball, do it. You will have a blast. I have the fondest memories of these things. Absolute fondest memories. What, Chris? Do other services have balls? The Marines are the only ones with balls, Chris. Dear oppressor of the commie street thugs, I was doing some research after your Siege of Malta history lesson, and I didn't realize the Ottoman Empire fell after America gained their independence. Fascinating it took that long. Well, I mean, I guess that's kind of true, but the Ottoman Empire did not officially fall until after World War I. Realize that? It's not as well known of an empire in the West because it's an Islamic empire. The West is not Islamic outside of Minneapolis and Dearborn. The West is not Islamic. We are more Christian-based. So we don't have as much of a fascination with the Ottoman Empire. You should. Totally worth reading about. A fascinating, fascinating empire. And yes, they did a bunch of terrible things. And I got all that. Every empire does. Read about it. And it lasted a long, long, long time. Now, I said it didn't officially fall until after World War I. Remember I said that they sold themselves, and I guess in a way saw themselves as the protectors of Muslims. They were the protectorate of Islam, of global Islam. Well, that was true. But like all empires that rise and expand and get super powerful, it's very, very, very difficult to hold a large empire together that spans lots of land and lots of sea. Very rarely. In fact, it's never been done forever, right? The sun never sets on the British Empire. That was the case at one point in time. Now they're a little island and they've been taken over by Islam. Nothing lasts forever. And they knew this. And so they treated their empire like concentric circles. You know what concentric circles are? You have a circle. Okay, you have just picture a circle, and then around it, there's a bigger circle, and then around it, there's a bigger circle. Those are concentric circles, basically. They tried, and they were very successful for a very long, long time, to allow local leadership. It was a very big deal. You know, there's a reason that countries have states or provinces. It's an old way of thinking. That because you can't control everything from the capital city, even with a king, a strong local government of some kind can't control everything. The Ottomans were magnificent at this, of having governors running their special area of influence. In fact, the Ottomans, part of the reason they lasted so long is they would take whoever's going to be the next sultan or potential sultans, and they would, instead of just coddling them in the tower, they would at some point in time, after educating them, after teaching them how to lead, they would send them out to become governors first. No, you go out to the hinterlands. You go to Northern Africa. You go towards the Middle East. You go there. You take over this particular area, and you learn how to run that area in preparation to be a kingdom. But it began to crumble. It began to crumble. And it was really, really, really fading as they went into World War I. It was fading. It was just they had lost so much of their territory over the years. You lose this war. You spend too much money. It's all the things that end up crippling an empire. And then World War I comes along, and look, they chose the wrong side. It is what it is. You didn't want to be on the Austria-Hungary-Germany side of that war because, remember, everybody got punished. Who was on that side at the end of that war, kind of unjust, but still, everybody got punished at the end of that war, and that was them. And they acquitted themselves quite well during that war. They didn't have the equipment, the manpower of the other major powers, But tradition is powerful, and they fought like freaking lions in that war. Absolute lions. It's an impressive empire, all right? Jesse, to be honest, I'm not concerned with the Republican congressmen who were targeted by the FBI. I want to know which Republican congressmen were not targeted. Those are the ones we need to primary. Look, here's how corrupt governments, I mean, honestly, it's how police agencies work, even if they're not corrupt. They kind of work this way out of necessity. Let's say I think Jewish producer Chris is a drug dealer. I don't just want to study Chris. I have to know who he's talking to. Who's he talking to on the phone? Who's he meeting with? Who's he texting? That's a very normal thing. All right, so that's the good end of that. You're trying to track down Chris's druggy network. Now, evil secret state police agencies like the FBI, they used this for Donald Trump as an excuse to go after all Republicans. That's why they were tracking these Republican senators and members of the House. It was anyone Donald Trump was talking to, texting with on the phone. That's how they justified it. Hey, Trump's tried to steal an election. Trump's doing illegal things. Who's he talking to? It was very, very evil, very, very wrong. But that's what communists do. Speaking of communists, you don't have Verizon, right? Or AT&T or T-Mobile. You're not paying them to trash your country, are you? Not when Pure Talk's right there. Make the switch to Pure Talk. How many testimonials do I have to read? How many emails do I have to read you? They are pleasant to you. You're not going to sacrifice service. I'm not asking you to sacrifice a thing. They're on the same towers. You'll pay less. You'll patronize a patriotic American company. It's pain-free if you want to keep your phone or get a new one. They have all the fancy new stuff, too. Whatever you want, they'll handle it. Tell them I sent you. Dial #250 and just say Jesse Kelly. Trust me, they know me. #250, say Jesse Kelly, and they will take good care of you. And you'll save some money. All right? All right. Medal of Honor. What does it mean to be above and beyond the call of duty? Next.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. If you missed any part of the show, if you missed our history the last two nights on the Siege of Malta, you can catch everything. It's free. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you miss me tomorrow when I'm gone, go download an old podcast in the sultry sounds of my voice. What, Chris, will keep you company until I return here on a Monday. Hey, Bronco. All the Medal of Honor recipients were awarded the medal because they went, quote, above and beyond the call of duty. What is the call of duty, and where is the line between what you are supposed to do as a soldier and something extraordinary? Okay. It's very subjective. All right. Very subjective. And medals in general. This doesn't apply as much to the Medal of Honor, although it does apply to the Medal of Honor, but medals in general are very subjective. And here's a rule that I follow. I'm not telling you to follow it, but I follow it. And actually, it was my buddy Braxton McCoy who came up with it, but I'm going to steal credit for it and give him none whatsoever. So I came up with this rule. It's a very, very good rule. If there is an officer, this doesn't really apply to enlisted men, but if there is an officer and he has a lofty medal for valor, medal of valor of some kind, I'm talking about not just Medal of Honor, Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star, these kinds of things. That these are lofty, lofty medals where you have to do suicidal things to get it. And you see an officer who has one of those, check to see if he has a Purple Heart. Officers will basically put themselves in for lofty medals they didn't even earn. I just got done reading, what was this book called? SOG. You know I love the McVie SOG stuff. John Plaster, I don't know him, but I read his book. It's called SOG. John Plaster. Again, the book is called SOG by John Plaster. One more time. SOG by John Plaster. That way you don't email me and ask. Anyway, I just got done reading his book, SOG. It's just crazy, the bravery there. And in fact, the more I read it, the angrier I got about the mission. I really don't care for it. But the MacVSOG guys are the greatest, freaking bravest dudes. Stupid bravery. And he's telling a tale in that book. I won't go into all the details of it, of this unit gets surrounded, one of our units, and there's a captain there. And the captain is essentially a worthless, gutless coward the entire time. And they're trying to evacuate people on the few helicopters that can get in. People are dying everywhere. They're trying to fight off the Vietnamese. I think it was the NVA. Trying to fight off the NVA while getting the super wounded people on the helos. Those are the ones who had to be heloed out in order to save themselves. And finally, the captain runs and jumps on one of the helos. He's not even wounded. Runs and jumps on one of the helos. He's the ranking officer and bails and leaves them all behind. Gets back. And I forget, I think it was the Silver Star, but it might have been the Distinguished Service Cross. Gets back and puts himself in for a medal and gets one. They were so disgusted with the guy. The whole story is in the book if you want to read it. But if an officer has a medal for valor, check and see if he has a Purple Heart. If he doesn't, and I don't know that I would necessarily trust that all the way. Very good rule. Very good rule. Okay, so to answer your question, which I didn't answer, and actually I'll explain what I mean by I don't like the MacVSOG mission the more I read it. What is above and beyond the Call of Duty? It's hard to say. It's just hard to say. Usually in these cases, as you know, you hear me read a citation every Monday. Usually you're doing something that you were not even ordered to do. Something on your own initiative, something that you have a very high likelihood of dying, something suicidal, to be honest with you. That's usually what they mean by that. Now, let me clarify before we get back to the stories and the politics and everything else. Let me clarify what I meant when I said I don't like the MacVSOG. I really dislike the MacVSOG mission. Their casualty rate was over 100%. Remember, casualties are not deaths, okay? That's anyone wounded. Over 100%. That means everybody was wounded, many of them more than once. Their KIA rate, death rate, over 50%. In my opinion, this is a personal opinion. In my opinion, that should never happen unless we are in a dire, desperate defense of the homeland situation. I would be upset if that happened in World War II. That's how upset I would be. Now, I'm not talking about an individual battle. In a battle or something like that, that's going to happen. You're going to have whole units wiped out. SOG went on for 8 years, and the odds were you were going to die. One of the things Plaster says in that book, and I'm going to mess up the numbers a little bit, but he said, you go out on 3 missions before you're even allowed to talk, really. You go out on 5, you're a contributor. If you end up going out on 15, you're really pressing your luck. And if you make 20, everyone's going to start looking at you like, why are you still alive? These guys died all the time. They go out, they drop them behind enemy lines. And I've told you about one unit that just disappeared. That happened all the time. They would drop these guys and they would just disappear and they'd never hear from them again because they would get swarmed and killed immediately. You carried on a program, no matter what, I don't care what good it did. I shouldn't say I don't care. They did do a lot of good. You carried on a program for 8 years of our best and brightest, and more than half of them died. Unacceptable. Unless we're talking about the impending collapse of the United States of America because an invading army is on our soil, that should never happen. Chris said, did it do any good? Oh, they did tons of good. They tied up large quantities of troops. They were amazing at recon and calling in airstrikes. They did amazing things, amazing amounts of good. And like I said, they're some of the bravest men I've ever heard about at any period of time. They're the most amazing human beings. The mission is ridiculous, but it's freaking suicidal. You take six guys and you go drop them in right in between, 10,000 NVA troops, and you have to helo out and they're alone. They're hunting them down with dogs. It's unacceptable, in my opinion. I do not believe in that. I think that should have been stopped. But this is my personal opinion. All right. We'll get back and do some more politics and other things before we do that. Protect your data. Protect your Social Security number. Really, that's probably the biggest thing, because if they get a hold of that, they can destroy you. Talking about taking out loans in your name, draining your bank account. These are the things people do. It happens all the time. Does someone have your Social Security number right now? Unless you have LifeLock, you don't know. LifeLock alerts you like that to any danger. And if the worst happens, and it happens every day, all the time, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who will make you whole. They'll fix it. Guaranteed. Call them. Save a bunch of money when you use the promo code Jesse. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse, or go to lifelock.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.